for his full peace to come, we must take the more earnest heed. And I've been talking to the Lord, because I don't know about you guys, but I can describe the ups and the downs, the hills and the valleys that I've been in over the last several weeks. This series has been so attacked, and this understanding is so under attack. This is where the kingdom suffers violence, and when kingdom is being revealed, and God is through Christ revealing our position in this covenant of peace. He's revealing our true position in full restoration and full manifestation, to where when we're coming into this straight path, his peace won't have any deterrence, and he won't have any deterrence about manifesting it in every, in any area that you might need it. But this has been, to me, I've been under some serious attack, to where the enemy is trying to bring so much chaos to where I can't even focus on this wonderful covenant of peace. He's trying to steal, like Elder said, the sweet words. He's trying to steal the memory and the revelation behind what we're hearing. And the reason why is because it really is an established place for us in the spirit. It's a place where we can really, really hold fast to and see the Father move and experience him. It's a place that will solidify our faith, our authentic faith, as peace, as the Irene and the Shalom of God begins to do what he says it will do. Okay. It will enhance our place of authentic faith. It'll enhance the life at the post. It'll enhance us entirely as citizens of the kingdom, because we're going to see, we're going to experience and feel. And God, through every series, is trying to get us into this place in him. Well, the call to truly get here is the straight path. And you know, I've been kind of stuck on that the last several weeks, and I haven't really come out of it. It's just an enhanced message on it. But today, he wants to talk about how to manifest full peace. And it's by taking the more earnest heed. And I open up in the book of Jeremiah, and it's a real strong reminder. Because remember, the straight path describes instant results. It describes where it can happen at once. If there be no obstacles in the way, where Christ can really produce and really reach out and touch. I'm really, really imbibing this so much, and it's making so much sense to me. It's balancing the message of grace, that I even understand this to be more grace. Amen. That he would influence a straighter path in my life. He would influence a path where he can reach out and touch me and not have to correct this or do that, but he can get right to the need. It's a path where it's also securing my place in eternity, even the more that I can experience the life of heaven now on earth, the way he has intended it to be. And so I open up in Jeremiah 18, and it's a great reminder to this truth. And I wasn't going to use this. I was looking at it, and I was sharing it with Prophetess earlier. And I wasn't going to use it, but the Lord said, I led you here, not just for you, but I led you here for them to see as well. And so in Jeremiah 18, it says, at what instant, verse number 7, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. Now listen to this. This sounds like straightening the path here. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. So you can see, it says here, at what instant, if that kingdom or that nation turn from their evil, if they straighten the path, if they let me reach them in a more simple manner, at what instant I shall speak concerning that nation and concerning that kingdom and to build and to plant it. In other words, the word instant here means I'll do it in the blink of an eye. If they make it straight, I'll do it in the blink. That's what it means, instant. In the blink of an eye, I'll fix it. I'll build it. I'll plant it again. I'll put its roots to where it belongs. In an instant, if that nation whom I have pronounced turn from their evil way, from their evil, I will, he says, I will repent. And he told me something. He says, Todd, I've already repented. Through the blood of my son, I've already repented. My repentance is in place. I'm waiting for yours.
Amen.
And at your turning, when you turn, now watch this, guys. When you turn, what I'm going to do is I'm going to cause my peace to be made manifest over you in an instant. Amen. In the blink of an eye. Because I've already turned at the shedding of my son's blood, and your position and your blessing and my power, my love, all in which that belongs to you is already waiting for you. If you turn, he said, my repentance is already secure. I've already repented of the evil that I thought toward you. But now I need you to turn. And he said, look up the word turn. So I did. And it says in verse 10, if it do evil in my sight, verse 10, just close out right there, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Good is already waiting to benefit us in this covenant of peace. It's already waiting because his repentance is already done. His mind has already been changed forever, never being angry with us or rebuking us again. So his good is already waiting. There's a benefit waiting for us, but we have to obey his voice. That's key for today's message. We have to obey his voice so we can see the benefits in which he's already established for us. Now, the word turn, this is how smooth and how awesome our God is. The word turn means with the idea of returning to the starting point. It doesn't even say returning to the starting point. It says the idea of returning.
Bless God.
So it's not asking you to get your place and get to the height from which you've fallen. He's saying get your mind turned with the idea of returning. And then it means to retreat. That means to start to pull back. It means to lay down. I like this one, or to weep. When you are turning, truly turning, you can't help but to weep because you see the place in which you've fallen. You've seen the heights in which you've kind of collided and you crashed out of. You see the things, and it does bring weeping. When he sees these things, when he watches your tears because you want to return, because you want the path to be straight, he's already ready to move in an instant.
Amen, God.
It means also to call to mind. If you call to mind, if you're just considering returning to that place that you know you lived in at one time, God is saying, I'm forever established in peace. I'm forever ready to pour it out. I'm forever ready because I'm satisfied with the blood of my son. Only thing I need from you is consider coming and laying by my side, coming back to the place. Once I see you consider, call it to mind, if you have the idea of returning to the starting point, getting back to that height from which you fell, I will instantly heal you. I will instantly, my God, bless you, deliver you.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I will build you in an instant and plant you. Oh, God, plant me where? In the idea that you're having about returning. I'll plant you. In the idea, I'll plant you in what you're considering. I'll plant you in what you're calling to mind. This is the benefit of making our path straight. And this is what he said to them all the way back over here in Jeremiah 18. He said it to them just like that. If the nation against whom I am pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. Instant. Instant. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation. The word nation means people. At what instance shall I speak? Let me just say it like this. At what instance shall I speak concerning you and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant? In an instant, I can build you over again and plant you in my righteousness.
Amen.
Just consider. Just truly consider releasing everything that's of the world, everything that is outside of the parameters of who I am and the values that I hold. Just consider coming up and being with me. Be ye holy as I am holy. Just consider it. And I'll do the rest. I'll build you and I'll plant you. But it's going to take the more earnest heed. It's going to take it. He's been teaching us about getting, making his path straight, in which gives him the ability to instantly touch us in every area, as we've stated so many times. What he wants to do is release his peace without any restrictions, you guys.
Amen, God.
This scripture is a reminder of this truth. This scripture in Jeremiah is a reminder of it. He can do it in an instant. Jesus, as we speak, is thoroughly purging his floor. He wants miracles, signs, and wonders activated in our lives in this now time. He does this with our mere considering or an idea of returning to the heights from where we have fallen. I don't know about you, but I got to be open and I got to be honest. I have been more than considering. I have more than an idea. I've really begun my journey back to the highest point that I've ever been with him.
Amen.
And I'm going to just share, as I began to really dig deep, and this is just a small testimony, but as I began to really dig deep and really, really, really understand and consider what, as this peace is being attacked, it's causing an awakening in me because I so want it. I desire it. I desire to have absolute peace with God. And so he's been thoroughly purging his floor, in me. He's been trodding out. He's been leveling the road. A purged floor is a floor that's purged after harvest. It's rolled over and made hard. It becomes like a passage or an easy path to walk in. And so he's been doing that to me. And as I've been going up and down in this fight for it, wanting it, desiring it so much, me and my wife have a Sleep Number bed, and my bed went haywire on me for some reason. I don't know what happened. My side was deflated and my wife's side was overly puffed. Elder Allison, I was telling her about it. She said it reminded her of hills and valleys. My wife had a hill and I had a valley, because mine was empty and my wife's was filled. Well, then, long story short, we started looking for a new one, and we started looking, and then all of a sudden, favor came up to where an older gentleman was getting rid of his. He had a newer model than I did, and we were looking at them. They were, some of them, $250, $400, you know, for use, because I needed a used pump and whatever. And so as we were looking, it came across that this man was, but just, we were probably the first one to hit it because he was giving it away. A newer model,
God,
more up to date. And long story short, a couple days of sleeping in the valley and a couple days my wife slept on the hill. This came up and the Lord favored us. I even went to buy one, but it wasn't the right size for our bed. And so it was favor that I couldn't buy it, because the Lord wanted to favor me. And he favored us, and he favored us in it. And when we got it, Elder Allison said to me, she said, "How did you sleep last night, PT?" I said, "I slept great." She said, "Yeah, because your valley was filled and Prophetess's mountain was, or hill was brought low, it was leveled." I said, "You know, that's a real, you're saying it, you're being funny, you're throwing shade, but it's really prophetic. And I'm receiving it prophetically, that my valley's filled and my mountains are brought low." And it was funny, but I did receive it prophetically. My point is, when I considered and I began to go back, and I'm on this quest to get to my highest point. You might hear it in how I'm speaking the word today. I'm on this quest and I desire it more than anything. I desire it. I've come way above and beyond any circumstance in my life. I'm way beyond any problem that I'm facing. I'm way beyond. I am just eye to eye wanting to be on an even keel with my Father, with my Lord, in the Holy Spirit. I'm just in this place now where I've decided, you know what, this is where I truly belong. This is where I'm happiest. This is where I prosper. This is where I'm at peace. This is where I find joy. This is where my son came in my room. I'm worshiping early this morning. He came in. He said, "Oh my gosh, Daddy, I don't want to leave here." He said, "Well," I said, what's going on?" He said, "It feels so good in here.
Praise God.
I'm just worshiping God. I'm just lifting my hands and worshiping. This is where I belong." And he came in and he said, "My gosh, he said, "Will it be like this when you get home?" I said, "Son, if I have my way, it's going to be like this until I die or until Jesus comes."
Amen.
Matthew chapter three. He's thoroughly purging his floor, guys. And I'm getting to the meat of this thing, but just give me a moment. It says, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, 12, it says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." So we're under this ministry where we like we've talked about in the past messages. We're not under the ministry of John, where we're hearing the baptism of repentance. We're under the ministry of Jesus through the Rhema word, and his ministry does it does more than what John did. He said, "He that cometh after me is mightier than I. I'm not worthy to bear his shoes or to tie his shoes. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. He's going to thoroughly, I just got you to the tip of this thing, but this guy that's coming after me is thoroughly going to purge his floor." And this is where God began to minister to me, because I wanted to know how to stabilize this covenant of peace. And he began to talk to me about the more earnest heed. And the reason why it's a more earnest heed is because there's a thorough purging going on. It's not just a baptism where you're getting some water and you're getting washed. No, he wants to thoroughly purge. The word thoroughly purge means this: to cleanse thoroughly, to free from defilement of sin and from faults, to free from guilt or sin of sin, to purify. With this, where we get our propitiation from. He wants a thorough propitiation. The word thorough means completed. Not sometimes, but all the time in the place of propitiation. Thoroughly cleansed from all defilement of sin. It's possible because of the ministry of Jesus Christ, because of the Rhema word. It's possible, and it's happening to us.
Yes, it is. Amen.
But this is how the covenant of peace is going to be really solidified and cemented in our lives. When we go to the place where you're going to keep hearing me talk about it, when we hit the place of the more earnest heed, it is time for the more earnest heed. It truly is. So we can sustain here, guys. So we can be sustained. And let me get to it now. Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 4. It starts off by talking about God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word — the word "word" there means rhema — by the rhema of his power, when he had by himself purged, look at that, our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So now we see in chapter 1, and you could read the full chapter. I think there's like 14 or so verses. in the first chapter, it's just giving props to who Jesus is. But men, if we go to chapter 2, well, first of all, he's purged. We got to understand this. He's purged our sins. All right? And it made me realize something. It made me realize that if he's purged our sins and we have not made his path straight, if his path isn't straight because there's still sin, we kind of, not kind of, let me tell it like he showed me. We look like the fig tree that did not bear figs in its season.
Wow.
We're looking like the fig tree because the Bible says when he did what he did, he by himself purged our sins. And it made me understand something here that the power of Jesus Christ is readily available at all times. Don't get me wrong. Yes, process and time can be found. Yes, there is time and process. But the Bible says he's thoroughly purged our sins. But listen, guys, we've been in the game long enough to understand that he should have a direct and straight path toward us.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why it's not straight, I'm going to say it, I'm going to go ahead, and it'll come together for you at the end, is because we're not taking the more earnest heed. The reason why the path isn't straight and the reason why we look like that abnormal fig tree is because we're not taking the more earnest heed. So let me read the note first and then we'll move forward. First of all, we are hearing from the Son of the living God directly. Listen, he's been appointed heir of all things. He upholds, which just means brings forth all things by the word of his power. Or by the rhema, which releases power. We are crazy, and I mean this. We are crazy. We are crazy in that right alone, not to take the more earnest heed. The guy that has been given heir to all things, the guy that brings forth all things by what comes out of his mouth.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh.
We are bugging if we're not taking the more earnest heed. This guy that we have privilege of hearing has been appointed. Listen, you're trying to get, God help us here. You're trying to get a bill paid. A bill. Mm-hmm. And you have the counsel, wisdom, and resource. We have the counsel, wisdom, and resource from the one that has been appointed heir of everything.
Yes, Lord.
And can manifest everything by the rhema that releases power, by the words that come out of his mouth. We're crazy not to be taken, just on that merit alone, we're crazy not to be taking the more earnest heed. Secondly, as I mentioned to you already, our sins are supposed to be purged. We're looking like the fig tree that didn't bear figs in its season. The only way we're going to get to that thoroughly purging his floor is by taking the more earnest heed. And I keep saying it, and I know you don't understand it, but when you hear what it means, you're going to thoroughly understand what I'm talking about. We too are supposed to be bearing fruit. So we look abnormal. Listen, this fruit of peace is supposed to be stabilized at the revelation of it. But the reason why we're having yo-yo experiences, ups and downs, is because we're not taking the more earnest heed. Therefore, in Hebrews chapter 2, if you read chapter 1, it trickles, it flows right into chapter 2. After giving all of the props about Jesus and who he is and the word that he carries being way stronger than angels, it picks up in chapter 2 and starts off like this. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You see three words bolded out, earnest, heed, and slip. We'll get to that in a minute. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. In other words, the Lord gave this rhema, spoke it by himself. His boys that heard him continued in the rhema, and they kept pouring it out. How shall we escape if, watch this, we neglect? We're neglecting because we're not taking the more earnest heed. If the voice or the word spoken by angels did what they were supposed to do, how much more is the word coming right out of the Lord's mouth going to do what it's supposed to do? God also bearing them witness, both signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto us, that was all one long question. For unto the angels hath he not put into subjection. To the world, that put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. In other words, the world to come is under the subjection of Jesus. We're under the one that has all things under subjection, directly. So what are you talking about, this more earnest heed? Well, I was going through it. I'm being honest, being very transparent. I was going through it. I was trying to figure out why in the world this message will not stabilize. What's going on? And I'm up early in the morning, about 3:30, 4 o'clock, and I'm up and I'm going back and forth. If you're still with me, just say amen so I know you're on the line.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So now I'm going back and forth and I'm trying to figure out what in the world's going on. Why in the world am I having all these crazy dreams, and why is everything all over the place? I know I've been here before through series while you're plowing in a series, and I know this, but I said, you know what? I don't even know where my trust is concerning you. I don't know if I do trust you. I don't know what's going on, let alone be at peace. I'm all over the doggone place. I said, what's happening? And I heard the Lord say this. I heard him say, take a more earnest heed. Give a more earnest heed. And I was like, what? I don't understand. And I started to look at it. I heard take more earnest heed. And I was like, all right, I'm trying. Okay. I started to look into it and I started to look at it. And then he said earnest. And I looked up the word earnest. It means more frequent, much more, exceeding, much more. It means exceeding some number or measure or rank or need. And I thought about that. I thought about that. I thought about, wow, you've warned us of this, that the peace, if you're looking for peace because you have a need, my heed should be exceeding my need. I'm not taking heed because I have a need. Jesus, help me. The more earnest heed is to align myself with him completely. And he's talking about having a more frequent, I'm starting to hear deep now, and I'm starting to understand what he's saying here. He's saying, you got to come up. You got to come up in what you're hearing. You got to come up. You can't just sit there and hear because you have a need or because you need something done. That's not, no. He said, yes, that will get you in the right direction, but you have to come up beyond its rank, beyond its measure. It has to be mano y mano, man. It has to be me and you. He said, you've got to take a more frequent, you need more frequent time with me. You need much more. And then it also actually ends up meaning this, over and above. And then watch this, it tells me he wants me to have my listening beyond my needs. Because another definition means more than is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't stop to hear him just to get my need. I go beyond to more than what is necessary. He's talking about a right relationship where my path is always straight, that he can come to me at any time without having any obstacles. And which he's been saying to us, but it really drove home here. And then I looked up the word heed. And the word heed meant to hold the mind. My mind has to be held in this peace. If I'm giving a more earnest, it would hold me. It means that my thoughts become devoted and I've given my effort to My mind is held in position consistently. Not in and out, but it's held in position consistently. Why? Because I'm taking my heat. It's becoming more earnest. More frequent. God told me when he said three times a day. He said, you're going to go beyond that. That's just how a prerequisite of how to get started. He said, but they broke bread daily in the apostles' doctrine, staying in it daily. Listen, I'm not trying to tell you to become a fanatic like this and to be more spiritual, that you're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. That's not what I'm trying to say here. But it is saying that the majority of my fellowship, the majority of what's on my mind, he should actually be involved in everything. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. My heed should be. It should be. I ain't going to try to paint a pretty picture to make you feel good. I'm sorry, I can't do it. My heed should always be on him. My mind should be stayed on him. In everything that I'm doing, wherever I'm going, he should be right there. There shouldn't be a moment of any day that he's not included. My heed should be earnest. My mind should be on how to continue to stay in this rhema and how to walk and how to do. Having an earnest heed is the ultimate doer of the word. Yeah. Yeah.
Bless God. Bless God.
Lest at any time we let it slip. If I didn't get your attention, well, maybe the word slip will get it. Perhaps the word slip will get your attention here. You still with me?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Okay, I lost my screen, but I got it back here.
Amen.
Something just came in. I've never seen that before. All right, look at this. The word slip. If I didn't get your attention anywhere else, let me try to get it with slip. Slip means, this is what it means. This is the actual definition in the Greek. It means lest the salvation, which these things heard, show us how to obtain. Slip away from us. Lest the salvation, which these things heard, show us how to obtain, slip away from us. God has been speaking to us. We are hearing from the living voice in every instruction. Every rhema is teaching us how to truly obtain. Our attention has to elevate to a place to where it is most frequent. It's the most frequent thing we're hearing. It has to totally dominate anything and everything. It has to exceed in rank and or measure. Let it be more than necessary, because truthfully, there is no such thing when it comes to the rhema word. It's no such thing that more is called more than necessary. I don't believe it's ever more than necessary.
Amen.
Honey Marge used to teach us before she went home to be with the Lord. She said two things God won't waste is time and words. He's not wasting a word on you. You'll never get more than what's necessary. You might get more. It might exceed your need. But trust me, if you're hearing beyond it, it will become necessary.
Amen.
Lest it slips. Everything we're learning is bringing forth salvation to teach us how to obtain healing, how to obtain prosperity, how to obtain, oh my gosh, deliverance, how to obtain peace. But without an earnest heed, the salvation which we're learning and hearing, which is showing us how to obtain, it slips away from us. And this is when he started on me. He didn't finish here. It made me understand. I started, okay. And then the next day he said, I need you to go to Mark 4 and start reading. He actually said to read the whole thing. I think he tested me, because my feet have been so hasty that my flesh, I don't know about y'all, I don't know, but I still go through this sometimes, but my flesh has just not been in a settled place to listen to the word. It's how jacked up I was getting. It's how messed up things had become. Yeah. Because he's driving me to the place where he called it. To where it's authentic peace. Amen. Like, here we go with that authentic word again.
Bless God.
He just flipped the switch. He said, this is authentic peace. And he's driving me to it, trying to find my place of being settled in it. And he began to deal with me and tell me, this is what I'm doing. I'm thoroughly purging your floor. And the way I'm doing it is by teaching you of the more earnest heed. I'm going to keep on separating the wheat and the chaff from out of your spirit.
Amen, God.
Your soul. Thank you,
Lord God.
Oh, glory be to God.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to separate and I'm thoroughly going to purge my floor.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
And for me to do this, I need you to take the more earnest heed. I said, okay. I said, I'm getting it. And he said, okay, let me show you another area, another angle there. So he took me over to Mark chapter 4. And in Mark 4, what really stood out, and he told me to read the whole thing. I said I would. But when I got to 5 and read 6, he said, okay, now you can stop. But he tested me to see if I would read it because of my hastiness and my unsettlingness and my flesh, my feet. He tested me even there. Mark 4 and 5 and 6 says, and some fell on stony ground. Listen to this now, guys. This is all where it all came together, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. It says in verse 6, but when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. So I'm listening to this. And then I hear the Lord just say, he said, these scriptures are reversed for all that are in true gospel ministries. He said, you have depth of earth. And he said, and you have root. You have root and depth. I said, okay. He said, you can no longer water the way you used to water. He said, you're not watering enough. He said, I've given you depth of earth and you have root. And I said, wow. He said, you're no longer a sprout. You're no longer a plant. You're young trees now. And the water, the amount of water, if you're going through, I'm trying to tell you something now. Listen, the Holy Spirit's letting you know something. Your problem is, you're not taking the more earnest heed. You're not getting enough water. You've grown too much and you're trying to give it this little bit of sustenance, this little bit of water, or what you've always done to be sustained. The Lord said, you've grown now. And there's root and there's depth, and water needs to get to the root system. Why? Because in the soil holds the nutrients. In the soil, it holds. And he said, the myramas are in the soil. They're in the depth now. And you are now becoming young trees, and the young trees will not be sustained off of a cup or two of water. It has to be watered properly. Hence the more earnest heed.
Bless God.
And I said, okay, Lord, I got it now. I got it. I really got it. I thoroughly understand it. This is why the covenant of his peace can't be established. Why? Because God is giving us deeper and taking the depth of our earth deeper. The word depth means mystery. I'm revealing mysteries. I've been revealing mysteries. And then if the word depth means the deep things of God. Listen, TGM, we're not living on the surface in this word. We're living in the depth of the word. And more water is necessary. A more earnest heed is necessary. If you want to survive this, if you want to experience this, if you want to take joy in this, you have to take the more earnest heed. You've done grown. He said, you also have roots. And roots means that offsprings, it means progeny. A progeny means the characteristics which are passed from the parents to their offspring. The progeny, we become progenies. Listen, we have characteristics. Watch. This is proof to you. We are progenies. We have characteristics. He's established all that we've learned. Authentic faith. Now peace is growing out. The characteristics of our parents, of our father, are being passed down to us. We're bearing fruit. It tells you you're not a sprout no more. It tells you you're not merely a plant. You've become a tree bearing fruit. Therefore, you must take the more earnest heed. The characteristics of Christ, of our Father, are coming on us.
Hallelujah, God.
My peace, or I hear the Lord say, my peace is demanding more water. If you want to grow my authentic peace, oh, I hear you, Jesus, it's demanding you give it more water. It will not be established until you take the more earnest heed. Come up to the deep things in which I'm telling you. Let go of everything else that's stopping the nourishment from coming to the roots. My characteristics are growing on you. And the imbalance you feel at times in your soul and in your spirit is because you're not giving it its proper water. You've got to give it the more earnest heed. It's got to become more frequent, more than necessary. The thirst on it, it's a requirement. Therefore, giving the more earnest heed is necessary. Taking your hearing, your time with him to another level. If this isn't ministering to you, then you're just dead in the spirit. I'm just going to say it like it is. Because there's nobody on this line that bypasses this dimension or this call, rather. So throughout this series on the fruit of the Spirit, we have developed greatly in the characteristics of our Father. He's manifested the authentic fruit of his Spirit. Our sprouts have become young trees. We can't sustain on the amount of water we're accustomed to. The Lord even told me, he said, you've already got a new skin. Pour into it. Your skin is already new. Pour in. This is why he's calling us to the more earnest heed. Our water or rhema intake has to increase. It's critical for the next stage in which he is taking us into. This is the stage, true miracles, true signs, and true wonders. Hence the more earnest heed. He revealed Mark 4, 5, and 6 in the reverse to us. They didn't have depth or roots. We do. So we need more water. We need more water, everyone. I don't know if you've been going through. I don't know. You might be on top of the world right now. God bless you. But I'm telling you right now, for every soul on this line that has been going up and down, in and out, it's because the Spirit of God is saying, I need you to take the more earnest heed. Lest the things in which I've given unto you, which you've heard, they slip. I sent those things to bring forth salvation, so you might obtain, that you might receive. Now, shalom has to become shalom. And there will be a shalaming as well. But you've got to transcend from the tranquility of the mind. You've got to transcend. And in order to do that, you have to take the more earnest heed here. You can't be stuck, and I hear the Lord say this, you can't be stuck between shalom, shalom. It will bug you out. It will mess with you.
Jesus.
It will jack you up.
Amen.
You must reach the second shalom. He said, I'll keep thee in perfect peace. I'll keep him in perfect peace. Perfect shalom. That's shalom. Tranquility of mind. And then shalom, the second shalom. That's the shalom of the Father, to where he's bringing forth restitution and restoration. He's bringing forth prosperity. You will trip up if you stay in between the two. And what's going to take you into the thorough second shalom is the more earnest heed. You've got to be willing to surrender. You've got to be willing to go. If you just get the idea, if you just consider. Just consider it. You'll see the instant power. You'll see him moving instantly. But I'm telling you to consider it from the deep. I'm telling you to consider it from the height, from whence you've fallen. I'm telling you to consider going back to the starting point, to where you're doing it all over again.
Yes, God.
Say, I'm going to release everything that isn't like you, everything that has been holding me from you, from you, from you. Everything that's been trying to keep me from reaching my destination in you, living with you, being consumed by you. You've got to consider going to that place. Hakula divalu, netival baba. And if something's on you, shake it off. If something's trying to hold you, shake it off.
Hallelujah, Lord. If something's
trying to fight, shake it off.
Hallelujah, God.
Shake it off. Consider it. I'll build from there. I'll plant from there. If you just consider. Oh, God, if you just consider it, I'll build you again. And then I'll plant you in this right soil. I'll plant you here. Oh, consider giving me more time. Consider with the notion of saying, I want my path completely straight. I had an utterance. I told the Lord when I read he would thoroughly purge his soul. I said, sweep mine. I said, sweep it, sweep it. I said, sweep it, then sweep. I said, start sweeping, sweep. Sweep. Just sweep. My God. Sweep it. I don't want to be stuck between the shalons. I don't want to be stuck. I don't want to be stuck there. Feeling like I'm about to lose my mind. The devil is a liar.
Amen.
Giving a more earnest heed to the things in which we've heard. The devil is a liar. I'm going on. I'm not going to neglect so great a salvation. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go into the dimensions of the rainbow. I'm going to, and it's going to take me taking a more earnest heed. Yeah. My mind's going to be held here. Get this mess.
I know that's right.
Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Water is touching your roots right now. There's a refreshing. But God has taught you how to continue in the refreshing. Continuing in the refreshing, staying in a place of just constant fellowship. I don't want to make it sound religious. Just constant fellowship in the things in which we're hearing. Having time with Alpha, never letting Omega go again. Staying with the Father and the Son.
Yes, God.
Not giving place or way to anything that steals this. Conversating about this word we're under, just talking to it. And it's so cool because when you don't feel it, you get to start the conversation by simply saying, I don't feel you. I don't feel your peace with me. I sense anxiety in the distance, and you get to live your life. You get to be real. You don't just quote scripture. You get to, oh, Lord, I sense your peace here at this restaurant with me. That means favors in this place with me. Oh, Lord, whatever you're doing. Oh, Lord, you're so close right now. You're near. Look at the wonderful peace me and my family are having. Look at this wonderful peace. We're out building pizzas yesterday at Pyology, and all of us were there. And we just talked, and the prophet said, go around the table and tell us what you're grateful for. She said, it's a prelude to Thanksgiving. This is grateful, and we'll do thanks on Thanksgiving. And then all of our children just said what they were grateful for. And great was the peace at that table.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
But we're out there getting Christmas ornaments, and we went to have pizza. And we're just there, but he was there too.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wonderful. And it doesn't have to be religious to take the more earnest heed. It just needs to be invited to whatever you're doing. He said, lift your hands to him now. There's a space here. There's a space right now. There's an anointing. There's a door open for surrender. That you'll dedicate more time and let him be a part of all of your day. That we'll come into covenant agreement about the more earnest heed. That we'll water differently and be watered differently. You're the source of it and you're willing to pour it, so they'll yield to it, Master. We'll yield to it, Jesus. Thank you for giving us depth of earth.
Thank you.
Thank you for the roots that have been established.
Thank you.
And then thank you for the water that's always being poured from the now word.
Thank you.
Thank you that we are doers of it. Thank you for thoroughly purging your floor, oh Jesus.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
He'll stop at no limits to save us thoroughly.
Thank you.
And it's wonderful what you're doing. It's wonderful, Jesus. So we give you glory. We give you honor and we give you praise, Master.
Hmm.
We thank you for your anointing that's here on the line.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
I thank you for the minds that are considering.
Hallelujah.
They have an idea. They have an idea to turn. The idea has crossed their minds. The idea of total surrender has come up. Build from the idea, Father. Plant from that idea, Father, instantly, lest it slips away. Don't let it slip. Build and plant from there. Build and plant, Father, from there, please. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. We give you glory, Jesus. We give you honor and praise.
Hallelujah.
Joshua Watts says, amen. Elder Allison says, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Elder Donis, bless the Lord. Evangelist Darrell says, I thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
We give you glory, Master. Every hand lifted again, every hand lifted that's on the line. We give you glory, Jesus. We give you glory.
Thank you. Holy.
We give you glory, Master. We give you glory.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
For authentic peace. We give you glory.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
For your peace becoming authentic in us, we give you glory. Oh, Jesus, we're seeking you beyond our needs. We're seeking you beyond the needs, Master. Oh, God, and I give you glory. I give you glory. I give you glory. I thank you, Lord, for opening up every vessel here and establishing a truth that will not be moved. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you. Thank you, Master. Thank you for the most earnest heed. More than enough.
Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Ooh, Master, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. There's some crooked paths that were made straight on the line. The Lord said, some crooked paths that were made straight. Some hills were brought low. Some valleys were filled. They were filled. But the enemy comes to rob, kill, and destroy, so He will try to take your momentum as soon as you get off this line. Mm-hmm. He's going to try to snatch it. He's going to tell you how to celebrate good with evil. He's going to minister to you right when we're done. He's going to talk to your flesh and bring you back into a familiar place in your mind if you allow him. But if you're taking the more earnest heed, if that's what you're doing, you'll continue in this conversation. You'll add him in the ingredients of your day. You'll place him where he belongs, at the center of everything. You'll resist with the power of the word and his peace. His peace will continue to create and to build and to plant. And you won't falter. You won't give up your spot. We are trees planted by the rivers of waters. By the rivers of waters. And this is the place that you won't be moved. The more earnest heed is the rivers of waters. You will not be moved.
Hallelujah.
You will not be moved. Keep it real with them. Keep it real. In all of your conversation, keep it real. You're taking more earnest heed when you keep it real. Amen. Amen. I'm finished right there, guys. That's all I have for you today.
Amen, God. Amen.